I think most of us tend to associate the word Hosanna with praise, and that's appropriate because this Greek word is an expression of joyous worship. But the word is derived from ancient Hebrew, and its meaning has evolved over time. Understanding the Hebrew background gives a richer appreciation for the word. For a brief study about the word Hosanna, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. We usually think of the word Hosanna as a word of praise, like hallelujah, and it did evolve into that meaning. But it is actually, in literal language, a plea for salvation. Hosanna has its root in two Hebrew words. The first word is the verb yasha. It is used about 200 times in the Old Testament, and it's primarily translated as to deliver or to save. The first use of this verb in the Bible is when the shepherds drove away Jethro's daughters from the well, but Moses stood up and helped or saved them from the shepherds. The second time the word is used refers to God. It occurred when Pharaoh was closing in on the Israelites at the Red Sea, and the Bible says that the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. This again was a form of the verb yasha, to save or deliver. So in the Bible, the word could be applied to heroic men and to God. From this verb, we get the proper name Yehoshua, which in English we translate as Joshua, and its later form of Yeshua, which we translate as Jesus. That's why the meaning of Joshua's name and Jesus' name is something to the effect of Yahweh is salvation. The second Hebrew word that makes up the Greek word Hosanna is ana, which means to beg or beseech. So when we put these two words together, yasha and ana, the literal meaning is, I beg you to save or please deliver us. Psalm 118:25 is a good example of the use of both Hebrew words in a sentence. In English, the King James Version renders it as, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. In the original Hebrew, the verse consists of eight words. Reading right to left, we have ana, which is an interjection meaning, I pray, or now we beseech you. The second word is Yahweh, shown as the tetragrammaton. Third is the key word that we're examining today, Hoshea. It is an imperative form of the verb yasha. In this particular verse, it's also in a form that is causative. So it's literally like saying, cause to save, but it can be shortened to the basic meaning of imploring, save. Next is the word na, which is an interjection acting as an entreaty or an exhortation. It's usually translated as now or please. It refers to someone imploring. The second sentence of the verse is structured similarly to the first one. It begins with Ana Yahweh, which can be translated as I or we pray Yahweh. The third word is Hatzlicha, which, similar to Hoshea, in this verse is an imperative in the hifil form, which is causative. It refers to making someone prosperous or successful, causing them to be prosperous. So it could be literally rendered like a plea, cause prosperity or send prosperity. The last word is na, which we also saw in the first sentence, and it is usually translated as now. So a very literal wooden translation of this verse would be something like, I pray Yahweh, save now. I pray Yahweh, send prosperity now. Now notice the words Hoshea and Ana. When you put these two words together, you get something like Hoshiana or Hosanna. Please deliver us, or I beg you to save. Now, let's apply this to a story in the Bible. A good example is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He approached Jerusalem from the east, coming from the Mount of Olives, before entering the city. He arrived on a donkey, fulfilling the prophetic words of Zechariah 9:9, which prophesied that the righteous and victorious king would come lowly, riding on a donkey. The multitudes that were in front of Jesus and behind him waved palm branches and cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" By calling him the Son of David, they were acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah. And by shouting out, "Hosanna!" they were acknowledging Jesus as the one able to save them. A common saying was, "Until the dead revive and the Messiah, Son of David, comes." Since Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead and Jesus was a descendant of David, the people saw Jesus as the fulfillment of the hope of Israel. The multitudes in Jerusalem were not only praising Jesus, but they were crying for salvation. Not in the sense of eternal life, but salvation from Roman rule. They wanted a return to the time when Israel was the head and not the tail. But they didn't understand that Jesus did come to offer them salvation. It just wasn't in the way that they expected. After overthrowing the tables of the money changers and casting out those who bought and sold in the temple, the blind and lame came to Jesus in the temple for healing. The children were crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" And this sorely displeased the chief priests and scribes, who were probably ready to exact some type of revenge on Jesus for spoiling their market. When they asked Jesus, "Do you hear what they're saying?" Jesus replied, "Yea, have ye never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise'?" This is a quote from Psalm chapter 8, verse 2, but it's from the Septuagint version, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. And it was very common for Jesus and the disciples to quote from the Septuagint. The Hebrew version is a little different. It reads, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength." There is a slight difference in wording because of how the translators interpreted the meaning of the Hebrew word oz, but that's beyond the scope of our discussion for today. However, I do think it's appropriate to see the words as related. Giving God strength is a way of saying that we are praising him or giving him homage. Now, babes and sucklings are probably referring to children from 1 to 3 years old. So we're talking about very young children. And how appropriate is it that Jesus responded to the pompous priests and scribes by quoting a scripture that refers to God getting glory from the weakest instruments? The learned priests and scribes thought that they were spiritually mature, but they despised and rejected Jesus. The innocent children, who were simple and unprejudiced, gave the best praise. Now, both versions of the verse continue, "Because of thine enemies that thou mightest put down or still the enemy and the avenger." This verse is saying that even from the weak and feeble, God can accomplish a work that requires great power to still the enemy and the avenger. Considering the anger by the chief priests and scribes toward Jesus, this verse of scripture was appropriate for Jesus to quote because it was the hosannas of the children and his defense of them that stilled his enemies, at least temporarily. The shouts of the children crying out in hope for salvation, because they were innocent and true, were a form of pure praise that God used as a stronghold against adversaries. So it's okay to think of Hosanna as an expression of jubilant praise. We want to shout with praise to our incredible God. But as you say the word, remember its basis from Hoshi'ana, save us. As we praise God, we remember the weight of sin and death that he has saved us from, and this thought should pierce our souls. As we cry, Hosanna, we plead to God to help us and save us, and we simultaneously praise him for his power, strength, and faithfulness. Hosanna is a shout of praise and a cry for help to the one who saves. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.